This is Jay Sekulow. The Attorney General Jeff Sessions fires Andrew McCabe.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I want to put this Andrew McCabe firing in context for you. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. So the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, made a statement, and I'm going to read the statement because I think it's important to understand context of what these entities are. After an extensive and fair investigation, and according to Department of Justice procedures, the Department Office of Inspector General, that's the independent inspector general inside assigned to the Department of Justice, provided its reports on allegations of misconduct by Andrew McCabe to the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. OPR, or Office of Professional Responsibility, governs the conduct and activities of the staff of the department. In other words, like an ethics board would do. For lawyers, it'd be the state bar. So that's what the Office of Professional Responsibility does. The FBI's OPR, again, Office of Professional Responsibility, then reviewed the report and underlying documents and issued a disciplinary proposal recommending the dismissal of Mr. McCabe. So OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility, that's staffed by career Department of Justice employees, recommended McCabe's dismissal. Both the Office of Inspector General and the FBI OPR reports concluded that Mr. McCabe had made an unauthorized disclosure to the news media and lacked candor, including under oath, on multiple occasions. I want to underscore that because it's not getting the attention that it should, and that is lack of candor, including under oath on multiple occasions. What that means is when he was asked questions under oath, he wasn't telling the truth. The FBI expects every employee to adhere to the highest standards of honesty, integrity, and accountability. As the OPR proposal stated, all FBI employees know that lack of candor under oath results in dismissal and that our integrity is our brand. Lack of candor can also be just not forthcoming, not telling the truth, not dealing with any of this. So that's the point of what we have here. And then to pursuant to the department's order of 1202, and based on the report of the Inspector General, the findings of the FBI Office of Professional Responsibility, and the recommendation of the department's senior career official, I have terminated the employment of Andrew McCabe effective immediately.
It would have actually been very unique for the Attorney General of the United States not to accept the findings of this bureaucratic offices of the Office of Professional Responsibility and the findings by the Inspector General. It would have actually been outside the norm for the for the Attorney General of the United States not to accept these recommendations. And though he had the opportunity to do that, when you're presented with this much evidence from career officials, as you said, all the way up, folks who have been at issue even in the past with these people have had questions about when it comes to these investigations, because these are not political appointees. We're talking about career officials saying, yes, fire him, even though that we know the impact they may have on his potential government pension. So by the Attorney General accepting this, everyone trying to say, oh, he was being mean, he was being nasty, he was following the guidance of longtime career officials at the DOJ and FBI. I think it's those officials who are actually trying to get their agencies cleaned up, which would be a good thing for the FBI, because when you read Andrew McCabe's pre-prepared statement, I'm sure we'll go through some of that. We come back from the break. He was obviously knew this was coming. This was not such a shocker. After the hours he spent trying to fight against this, had statements ready to go, and you can hear kind of the partisan tone in this and the nastiness. This is who needed to go from the FBI. This is not appropriate. Whatever happened in their career, somehow their attention shifted from just fighting terrorism to what politicians were tweeting. And when you get too concerned about what politicians are tweeting, you're getting your eye off the ball as an FBI official. And that means all the way up to the top, which he was at one point acting FBI director.
All right. Also, at the Supreme Court of the United States tomorrow is a series of cases involving the life issue and crisis pregnancy centers. We filed an amicus brief in these cases because we have two cases pending the outcome of these. So we've got a direct relation to these cases. What happens on the case that's argued tomorrow will impact directly our case. We're representing the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates in the case, and a series of cases, actually. We're representing the Living Well Medical Center. The case that's being argued tomorrow is National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, argued by our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom. So a lot on that. We'll talk about it when we come.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the first part of the show, we went through the statement by Attorney General Jeff Sessions announcing the termination of Assistant Director of the FBI, the Deputy Director, Andrew McCabe. That was effective immediately, only because the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility informed the Attorney General, along with the Office of Inspector General, that Mr. McCabe made unauthorized disclosures to the news media, aka leaks to the news media. But on top of that, and I think was probably more telling here, was not an instance of leaking to the media where it may or may not have been authorized the right way and the steps may not have been followed, is that he lacked candor throughout this investigative process, including under oath on multiple occasions. Let me put that into context for all of you. Lacking candor under oath for all of us means lying under oath. For most of us, if we lie under oath to the FBI, we don't just get fired. We would go to jail or get prosecuted for that. I mean, and so we don't even know the full extent of where this investigation is leading. I really believe this is step one for people like McCabe. They may face other issues in the future, because this was just a part where I felt like the OIG got to the Office of Professional Responsibility and said that this is something we have to allow the Attorney General to make a decision on, even though I think it put Jeff in a tough spot because of that whole issue with the pension issue.
It did. Look, the lack of candor can mean a lot of things. All of it violates the rules and regulations of the Department of Justice, though. So whether it's lying or whether it's not being fulsome in your response, whether it's not being truthful in your response, all of that becomes very relative here. And I think that we've got to realize and recognize exactly what's at play. And what's at play is a situation where you've got to be very careful, when you're answering questions like this. And Andrew McCabe evidently was not. And the consequence of that was he lost his job. And it'll be interesting to see when the Inspector General's report comes out, what the context is. But there's a lot of speculation. And it's fine to speculate, but do know this. I mean, remember in the Strzok Page emails, text exchanges, there was references to meetings in Andy's office. So it may well be focusing on some of that too. We just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. If this all started with the Clinton investigation, how that was handled. By the way, we've learned that his recusal from that investigation was not until a week before the election. So that's new for Congress to find out. It's also new. There's some new text messages about the relationship between Peter Strzok and the FISA court judge, the Fisk court judge who handled Michael Flynn's case who was also, a district federal court judge, but is also on the FISA court, and their personal relationship, and how far could they discuss things without crossing the line of having to recuse themselves. That judge, by the way, didn't recuse himself until these text messages started coming out, and I think he realized, well, my name may be in these texts, or I may have texted with my good friend. They were on a first-name basis, so he was calling the judge Rudy in the text messages, not judge this or judge that, so it wasn't even someone he kind of knew. It was someone he could call and get a meeting with immediately, saw at social events, and these two knew that Strzok was the guy at FBI who provided all the evidence to obtain that would go to the FISA court to obtain warrants on Americans. So we've got, I think, all of these people were working with McCabe. So I think they put out only as much as they had to in this initial report to underline their, which it was, again, I keep wanting to make this point clear. It was actually Washington, D.C.'s bureaucracy who recommended that Andrew McCabe be fired and then ultimately put his pension in jeopardy. It was not anybody appointed politically by this president or past presidents.
These are career individuals that serve in the Office of Professional Responsibility or serve in the in the Inspector General's office. Yeah. So they have large staffs. Inspector General has 500, I think, prosecutors and federal agents on his staff, but they operate independently. They're not politically engaged, so to speak. And it's an Office of Professional Responsibility operates much like a bar would operate. Anyways, we got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go ahead and take some, Logan.
All right, Alan's calling in New York on line three. You're on the air. Alan.
How are you doing?
Hey, Alan.
Here's what it amounts to is these guys have been prosecuting people like Flynn for lying or even making a mistake when they testify. And all of a sudden, when they intentionally lie or intentionally mislead somebody, they want to be let off scot-free. Now, his pension is not in jeopardy. Only his salary for life is in jeopardy. He'll still get his pension from what I understand.
I don't know the ins and outs of what the rules are on his pension or his retirement plan or how that works. But I know this. He was terminated, and he was terminated for cause. And I'm not going to make a reference to General Flynn's case and the situation there, but I will say this, that in a situation based on the reports that are being publicly available, which is the report from or the statement from the Attorney General, it was the fact that he was not operating with what they call candor on multiple occasions while he was under oath.
Yes, and that is, again, very serious, and they say it's even more serious for the FBI than even an average citizen, because their entire integrity is based off being honest and truthful. Because when they investigate or ask for these warrants, I mean, warrants on American citizens, you know, like the FISA program, you better make sure that the people authorizing that, renewing it, as McCabe was one of those, are people who tell the truth and are honest. And for the Office of Professional Responsibility, knowing good and well that he was planning to retire and all of those impacts this may or may not have on the pension. I don't think that's 100% either way yet. I think that we don't know all of that yet, how that will work out exactly, is that they still made this recommendation to fire, and it would be unique for the Attorney General to actually step in and not accept that recommendation. Though, I mean, he has the power to do so, but I think that that doesn't get reported at all by the liberals who are so up in arms about it. Your beloved liberal bureaucracy recommended the firing of Andrew McCabe, whose statement that he put out, I must say, was maybe one of the worst I've ever seen. And first, I'm not sure why he put one out like this, but two, it was so clearly politically motivated, this guy, that he kind of proved to me that he had a political bias. I mean, he says in there, for the last year and a half, this is someone who served as the head of the FBI in that interim period between Director Comey and Director Wray. He got all the way to the very top of the FBI. And this is why he couldn't tell the truth, the Inspector General. For the last year and a half, my family and I have been the targets of an unrelenting assault on our reputation and my service to this country. Articles too numerous to count have leveled every sort of false and degrading allegation against us. The president's tweets have amplified that. They've called for my firing. He called for me to be stripped of my pension, 20 years of service. And all along, we have said nothing, never wanting to distract from the mission of the FBI, but by addressing the lies told and repeated about us. Let me ask you all something as American people. Do you want the head of the FBI? And he was for a time period.
Here's the acting.
And then the deputy director of the FBI to be so, I guess, impacted by politics of the day, when their focus is to keep all of us safe from terrorism and law enforcement, but yet they're following tweets and that are unrelated to their activities, and that's what's giving them, you know, no sleep.
Oh, that's what James Comey famously said that. Remember, he famously said that it kept him up. Some of the things kept him up at night. He woke up, and I think he said he woke up in a sweat. Here's the reality. The Office of Professional Responsibility did their job, as did the Office of Inspector General. And eventually those reports will be, at least the OIG report, will be made public. It should be. I think that's a normal practice. And we'll find out exactly the nature and scope of what this is. Alan Dershowitz had an interesting comment about all of this. Listen to what he had to say.
The more we learn, the better it is for America. And we have to make sure that the FBI goes back to being a nonpartisan, neutral, objective, investigative agency, not an agency that decides who to prosecute, but an agency that simply uncovers the evidence and presents it to prosecutors. And we've lost that role of the FBI, and I think we have to regain it. That's one of the most important lessons we can learn from this tragedy.
Yeah, so look, I think that we are learning more. We're going to learn more. But if you go back and trace some of this, I put everybody in a little bit of context here I think becomes very important, and that is this. You have to understand the nature of the situation in its totality of circumstances, not looking at one thing at a time. But look at what happened here. Investigation is begins, inquiries begin based on, we know, and FISA warrants are issued based on a dossier that the then FBI director said were unverified and salacious. We then find out that Bruce Orr, the number four at the Justice Department's wife, was working for the company Fusion GPS, who was working on the Steele dossier. That Steele actually gets fired by the FBI for leaking information to the press, yet Orr still meets with him. Then you have the whole Lisa Page, Peter Strzok email exchange back and forth, raising a whole host of issues. Then you have James Comey leaking his information, as he said, for the purpose of getting a special counsel, which was then put in place. So there's a lot of what you're seeing here is the issues that have developed. Again, if you got to take the totality of circumstances as you look at this, and I think you have to look at the totality of circumstances here to ask yourself what is happening. All right, we're going to take more of your calls. Don't forget, major Supreme Court case up tomorrow. Our clients, Living Well Medical Center and Pregnancy Center, a Care Center of the North Coast, their cases are pending the outcome of this one tomorrow, which is the case National Institute of Life and Family Advocates. So what happens in that case tomorrow during the argument and then ultimately the decision will impact ours directly. We filed amicus in it. But again, more information, and don't forget our matching challenge.
.org. Whatever you're able to financially donate to the American Center for Law and Justice goes to our work so we can bring you this broadcast. The work we do in the U.S. and around the world, your donation will be doubled. $20 becomes $40. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Crossroads for you. All right. Appropriate tune for the day. All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Wes Smith has joined us because he is familiar with these offices of professional responsibility from his time in government in the military. Tell us about the Office of Professional. I think it's, and by the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want your reaction to this situation with Andrew McCabe and what do you think this means or what do you think the American people should know? 1-800-684-3110. So tell us, Wes, here, from your standpoint, you dealt with a version of this in the military.
We do. We don't have an OPR in the military. We have the equivalent of that, and we have certainly methods for investigations. But nearly every federal agency at the federal level in the nation's capital has an Office of Professional Responsibility. It's not something that's just strictly part of the FBI. The DOJ has a separate OPR. Department of State has an Internal Revenue Service and what have you. But the Office of Professional Responsibility for all of these, including the FBI, which made the recommendation to fire one of their own. This was the FBI's Office of Public Responsibility,
Professional Responsibility.
Yep. But they investigate people in the organization who have committed crimes or other misdeeds in the course of their official duties.
Yeah, so it's violations of known rules, regulations, or protocols within, in this particular case, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So the OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility, here had a concern about an unauthorized leak as well as lacking candor under oath on multiple occasions. And it was OPR that made the recommendation that McCabe be fired, Jordan. I mean, that's I think you need to stress that. This was not a decision made by political appointees or by the president or anyone else.
Nope, these were people already in these positions. I'm not sure when they took their jobs, probably over numerous periods of years, including probably the director of those offices, a number of years, so many different administrations. But they are government bureaucrats. They are the folks sometimes we're concerned about working in within these institutions who took the info they put together from the report, as their duty is the Office of Professional Responsibility, and recommended the most serious of consequences that they can, which is the firing of a top FBI official because of their unauthorized disclosure of information to the media. That would be a leak and or multiple leaks. But I think most importantly is their lack of candor, which can mean things like lying or not giving the information, so holding back what you know to be true, so not answering completely and when giving information. And that when that happened on a number of occasions, that the only action they could take was they can't fire them directly, but they can recommend firing. And in the past, though it's the Attorney General's decision to make, it is very unusual for the Attorney General not to accept the career officials at the FBI's decision on this matter, because you're talking about, again, the career individuals. And you'll see the Attorney General reference that top career official made this recommendation to him. It would have been outside the norm for him not to accept this decision from the – think it would actually – any other time, if he didn't accept this recommendation, he would be really questioned. I think just because of the politics surrounding this one, obviously people take sides on this. But I want to go to point out something that I found right away and knew was going to be a problem for both McCabe and Comey later on in this. It's that in McCabe's statement, which he had pre-prepared to go out, obviously, when this firing was announced – he wrote that, and this is the first page of the fourth paragraph down, this is very important to him. The OIG investigation has focused on information I chose to share with a reporter through my public affairs officer and a legal counselor. As deputy director, I was one of only a few people who had the authority to do it. It was not a secret. It took place over several days. And others, including the director, that would be Director Comey, everybody, were aware of that interaction with the reporter. Now, let me play this soundbite for you. This is Director Comey, who he says authorized and was aware of these kind of anonymous sourced leaks to the press. Director Comey now, under oath, to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Byte 20.
Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
No.
Has any classified information relating to President Trump or his associates been declassified and shared with the media?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, let me just say something here. James Comey has on a multiple occasion had to correct his testimony before the United States Senate or House when he testified. He's had to correct it when he said there were 12,000, I think the number was he gave, emails on Huma Abedin's email that was her personal computer that was sent over to her husband. And that ended up, and he said the FBI agents worked diligently through a four-day period to review all of those to make the determination of no culpability. We found out there was about a dozen, not 12,000. So where they get this information from? But then in a direct question asked of the FBI director regarding this issue of did you authorize leaks or are you aware of leaks, he said no. What Jordan said is very important. More important, what Andrew McCabe said is more important. Yeah. And Andrew McCabe said, yes, I cleared this with the director of the FBI.
Yes. I mean, it took place over several days. This is talking about, it was with the Clinton matter. So it was brought up specifically by Chairman Grassley in his questioning about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation. Comey says, no, I've never authorized someone. He was under oath when he said that to speak to the media as an anonymous source on either of those investigations, Trump or Clinton. And then in McCabe's statement released immediately after his firing, as deputy director, I was one of only a few people who had the authority to do that, to decide what information could be shared with a reporter anonymously. It was not a secret. It took place over several days, and others, including the director, were aware of the interaction with the reporter. I mean, unless they want to play this really funny business of games of what are you authorizing versus what are you aware of, which I don't think cuts it anymore when you get to the top of these entities, because being aware and not saying no, that's the standard for CEOs.
You're under oath before a committee. They asked a direct question. He did not give a truthful answer. That's what it means.
Right. Yeah, and the OPR, they deal with a lot of complaints and they do a lot of investigations. It's really pretty extreme for them to recommend termination. Most of the time, they recommend suspension or some other penalty. And so when the OPR investigates this kind of thing, they look at the allegation, its apparent credibility, how serious it was, whether or not it can be verified, and the source of the allegation. And so for them to recommend termination means that this was the most serious thing that the OPR generally deals with. And maybe it's just me as an ex-military guy, but I think it's ironic in a way that basically it appears that McCabe has been terminated for lying to the FBI, the same thing that they charged General Flynn with, and he entered a plea agreement, lying to the FBI.
You know, it may not, candor doesn't necessarily always mean lying.
Exactly.
It could be, false, it doesn't have to rise to the level of false statement. We should look up what the legal definition of candor is, but it's usually you're not being honest, forthcoming, and of course,
holding back, misleading.
But all that would be yes. I mean, you did that to an FBI agent in an investigation, you'd be in all kinds of trouble. All right. Logan, what kind of comments are you getting on Facebook before we take a break here?
Yeah, a lot of comments. A lot of people are asking. They're saying this seems like this is a constant thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of high-level issues going on.
Well, this is not the deep state, okay? I mean, as people call it. I mean, this is at the highest level of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments. We come back from the break. Logan's going to let you know how, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, how you can get the rest of it, but also stay engaged with us during the day.
That's right. You can find us on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope and Twitter @JSeculo, broadcasting right now live for an additional half hour. If you don't get us on your local station, some stations carry the full hour, some don't. You can find an archive later on the ACLJ app, also available on the JSeculo Live podcast. That app's available in the App Store on Apple devices, iPod, iPhone, iPod. I can't get iPod anymore. iPhone. All the different things.
Say iPod?
Yeah, get on iPod. If you have an old iPod, you get on Zune.
I have an iPod.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you should admit that anymore.
I keep it in my office, though. It's a memento.
Exactly. It's a museum. ACLJ.org for everything you need.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
just could not resist the. We have a good version of that too, by the way, the Jay Sekulow Band. I don't know if we have that broken down, but we do not. Okay, too bad, because that would have been a good song during the breaks. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. A little Let It Be action for you, because whispering words of wisdom. A lot of wisdom needed in these matters that are coming before us. But again, welcome to the broadcast. If you are just joining us here, let me recap a little bit. So Andrew McCain was fired based on a recommendation from the Office of Professional Responsibility. We talked about what the OPR is, what it does. They are charged with reviewing things like this. The Attorney General said he made unauthorized disclosures to the news media and lacked candor, including under oath on multiple occasions. And then Jordan brought up a very important point involving James Comey. And I think it's worth reiterating this, because McCabe points to references to the director of the FBI, which was James Comey at the time, with regard to statements, leaks going to the press.
That's right. And then James Comey, before McCabe issued this statement on Friday night after his firing, that may have already been Saturday morning technically, Chairman Grassley asked this to former FBI Director Comey under oath back in May of 2017. A very straightforward question by 20.
Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
No.
Has any classified information relating to President Trump or his associates been declassified and shared with the media?
Not to my knowledge.
And then, okay, so we've got the no and the no. And the most key no for as our purposes right now is that first one. Director Comey, did you ever authorize someone else at the FBI to leak as an anonymous source information to the media about Trump campaign or the Clinton campaign investigations and the Clinton investigations into the server? This, by the way, McCabe terminated because of information that was leaked about the Hillary Clinton investigation. And he writes in his letter on Friday, which directly conflicts with what Director Comey said under oath, that he had the power as deputy director as one of few people who had the authority to choose to share with a reporter information. It was not a secret within the FBI. It took place over several days, and others, including the director, so Director Comey, were aware of the interaction with the reporter. Now, they could try to play some word games. As an attorney, I already think about the word game they try to play is, I didn't specifically authorize Chairman Grassley. I just knew about it. That's not the question you asked me. But as FBI director, if it comes across your desk, and now your deputy is throwing you under this bus. I think that there's some tension here between these officials.
I think they'll be in lockstep.
Well, I think ultimately they will try to be, but there's a lot to kind of pull them apart.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think because McCabe had a kind of, in my mind, this kind of angry employee statement ready to go.
Yes.
Terminated employee statement. If you go through it, it's almost like. This alone, if you found like something like this, you would not want the person to be the deputy at FBI.
All right, Logan, do you want to take a call or a comment with 1 minute and 40 seconds left before the break?
Let's take a call. We'll try to instigate more calls. Let's go to Julie, who's calling California.
Hi, Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Since they've recommended, the OPR recommended the firing of McCabe, I wonder if they would consider firing Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
May well be under investigation. We don't know that. That would be the office that would be handling it, would be the Office of Professional Responsibility. Inside the agency, and you don't normally know the status of it until it's complete.
I mean, we didn't know the status of this until the last few days that the Attorney General was going to get this information.
So it could well be.
This didn't leak. So even though McCabe was no longer serving, he was on leave. But it was the OPR who rushed this to the Attorney General, obviously. It did not leak out, and he had to make this decision. So, and again, really, the decision was to accept what the FBI OPR office had found, which is the normal course of action for attorney generals.
So, Wes, let me ask you this in your experience in like 20 seconds here. These kind of investigations, you had them in the military, they are thorough. I mean,
very thorough.
Yeah.
And they tend to be very, very unbiased, especially when there is a microscope on the investigation itself, and the FBI is in the spotlight now. So they will be very, very candid.
Very good. All right, we're going to take more calls, Logan, when we come
back. That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We also have exclusive videos to run in the break. So if you're watching right now, you're going to get a video. That is if you're watching online, Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. Game phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Call right now. Get your voice heard. Be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Because in the firing statement for Andrew McCabe, the word used was the lack of candor. So we pulled a few like legal definitions of candor when in the professional responsibility realm. When you look at just kind of general guidance on what is candor towards a tribunal, so a place you'd be under oath, which this firing statement said he was under oath on multiple occasions and lacked candor. You shouldn't make that includes false statements of fact or law. Or failure to correct a false statement of material fact or law. So things that are important, not information that's not important to the investigators, but important material investigation. Also failing to disclose if there's information that is out there that is different. Evidence, giving any for any kind of evidence that you know is not true. Holding back information as well. So to mislead or deceive. So they all kind of get to lying, but in more technical ways than that. Because it's not just an outright lie. It could be not saying anything when you knew something or trying to kind of misdirect investigators while you're under oath when you know that you were misdirecting them in the wrong direction. They did not, by the way, obviously make this conclusion to fire McCabe because of lack of candor over one incident of lack of candor. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson first from our senior policy analyst, also an attorney. They say, you know, it was multiple times. And we don't know how many, but that means three or more usually. So it's more than two that he was under oath and lacking candor, if you will, which is either kind of lying or misleading. And it's taken very seriously by the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. And it's taken very seriously by courts as well.
Absolutely. And so it's important to put this in context. The FBI, along with the Justice Department, effectively charged former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn with lying to investigators. It is clear, based on Attorney General Sessions' statement in terminating Mr. McCabe, that he was terminated for conduct which was very similar to the misconduct or alleged misconduct engaged in by Mr. Flynn. In addition, it's very important to note that this entire Inspector General investigation was likely launched pursuant to a request from two House senior Democratic leaders, Elijah Cummings and John Conyers. We don't know this for a fact, but there is evidence in the record that they sent a letter to Inspector General Michael Horowitz. Why? Because they were concerned about the fact that the FBI was leaking. Apparently, Mr. McCabe did, in fact, allow, I should say, or encourage senior FBI officials to leak to the Wall Street Journal. So Mr. McCabe has engaged in much misconduct, and his statement after being terminated suggests that he was replete with political bias, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, it gets to, again, it's very serious allegations that were made, and not just allegations. The Office of Professional Responsibility made a conclusion for the Attorney General and said, these meet, we recommend firing. Okay, so it wasn't you have these options. It was we recommend firing. So they weren't just giving facts and information to the Attorney General of the United States. And we don't know how thorough, how much he got. But what we do know, it's a lot more than what we see. What we're getting is just baseline what the Attorney General felt comfortable saying. So on multiple times, McCabe was not being truthful. He lacked candor too while under oath. Okay, so that's lying under oath or making misstatements under oath. It's very serious. So when the Attorney General got that, I think we have to be very honest about the position Jeff Sessions was in. The conclusion by the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility was made. They weren't just researching the facts. They said, Mr. Attorney General, we recommend immediate termination. And for the Attorney General of the United States not to accept that would actually, I think, to demonstrate a lot more lack of respect for the FBI than getting rid of one or two bad actors within it who rose to the very top, who I don't think we should lump together with the rest of the FBI, because I think that, again, as we're starting to see, the rest of the FBI had a lot of concerns about McCabe's ties to electoral politics through his wife running for state senate in Virginia and getting all this money from a Clinton friend and having Hillary Clinton at fundraisers for his wife while he was supposed to be investigating Hillary Clinton. A lot of people at the FBI were blowing the whistle on this. Some even left their positions. They left their job at the FBI because they thought this investigation will go down as something that is disastrous when investigators begin looking at it. And I think it's to push this into other issues, it is a distraction from reality, is that the Clinton investigation was over and done before it even started. And they made, and the Clintons made sure about it as well. Yep. By making sure these people like McCabe's had direct ties to them through their wife's political campaign.
All right. So there you have it. I mean, there's a lot more that we could.
There's so much that stuff. We have covered before in the past. Yeah. We've gone through this timeline. But I think what's important here is what the Attorney General has let us all know is that
based on career personnel. Gary, that's one of the keys here. The Office of Professional Responsibility, like the Inspector General, are career personnel.
Absolutely. And it's important, again, to keep this in context. House Democrats were very concerned about career FBI officials engaging in conduct that benefited one presidential candidate as opposed to another in 2016. Then in 2017, the House Democrats changed their tune and began to defend Mr. McCabe, and they even defended James Comey,
right,
despite his interference in the 2016 election. So much of this is simply politics being played out on the national level. And going back to what I said earlier, Mr. McCabe's statement upon his termination was simply a political statement.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I said this early on, I said what James Comey did during the election came out closing the Hillary Clinton investigation, reopening the investigation, closing the investigation. I mean, Hillary Clinton blames James Comey for the Lee election result. The fact is, what James Comey did was a violation of the protocol of the FBI. They're not supposed to do that during the political process. So I think it was wrong when he announced it was closed. I think it was wrong when he announced it was reopened. I think it was wrong when he announced it was reclosed again. I think all of that was wrong. So that's my view of this. All right, Logan, let's try to grab another call or two. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Don in California on line three. You're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Thank you, guys. I know you're on a time constraint here, but, you know, I lie to the FBI, I go to jail. You guys laid this out so well. And my question is, the frustration we have out here is, who has the authority and when do they hold somebody accountable and march them up there and say, look, this is wrong. You're going to be accountable for this. That's the question.
Well, accountability works through a process called due process. And you can't just you don't just, you know, accuse somebody and then make them guilty. That would be bad for our system of justice that would be bad for a constitutional republic. So whether it's Andrew McCabe or anybody else, West, fact is they get due process rights. But they're, explain again how these kind of internal investigations work. You're familiar with them.
Right. Every federal agency has an Office of Professional Responsibility. I think it's interesting, Jay, that while the FBI falls under the Department of Justice and the ultimate decision to let McCabe go was the Attorney General's decision, there is a reason that the Department of Justice is organized in such a way that the FBI doesn't fall under DOJ's OPR. They have their own internal Office of Professional Responsibility because the Department of Justice, because the FBI is a unique law enforcement agency, they allow them to police their own. And this recommendation for his immediate termination is an extreme, you know, decision on their part, but it is the FBI policing their own organization. The people on the OPR work in and for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And so out of all the complaints they deal with on a regular basis, they do not always recommend termination. And so the fact that they did recommend McCabe's termination is indicative of the fact that the deception, and I guess that's probably what lack of candor is, deception, is serious enough that they felt like he needed to be terminated.
Let me read you the definition, the legal definition of the term candor. Candor refers to the duty of a public authority, public official, to disclose material facts. The general duty of candor requires attorneys, for instance, to be honest and forthright with courts. The attorney should also refrain from deceiving or misleading courts either through direct representations or through silence. So you can, it's not only affirmative statements that constitute a lack of candor. It's, again, it's an evaluation that's made by the Office of Professional Responsibility and the Office of the Inspector General. When the report is issued, we will know a lot more about all this. All right, we're coming up on the last segment of the broadcast. We're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The last segment of the broadcast, you get to ask us just about anything, but not anything. Just about anything. It's a fair way to say it, Logan?
Yeah.
Just about.
We'll take as much as we can. You know, don't call in with a bad connection, with profanity, or crazy off topic.
Or music requests.
I mean, that's at least safe, so it's fine.
Hey, can I say something? Our keyboardist, actually, John Lowry, is having some pretty major surgery today. I'd appreciate your prayers for him and his family as he goes through this surgery. He does great work, great musician, was with Petra for so many years, and I had the pleasure of playing in a band with him now for 3 years, but he's going through some serious medical challenge, and appreciate your prayers for John Lowry. All right, we'll be back with more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, and don't forget the matching challenge campaign.
Our matching challenge, you can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. If you donate 10, that donation becomes $20 for the ACLJ and on up from there. Be part of our matching challenge online. Financially support the ACLJ if you can by donating at ACLJ.org. And click Matching Challenge.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Yes, everyone. I mentioned before the break, and for those on Facebook and Periscope, you got to see our friend John Lowry, who's playing keyboards with our band, and of course was the keyboardist for Petra and tremendous career, is undergoing a health challenge today, major surgery, and we would appreciate your prayers for him. In fact, what we're going to do is at the end of the Facebook and Periscope side of the broadcast today, we're going to play that entire song, Let It Be, from our concert we did at Judson University. But when we play it, I want you to be thinking about John. Did a great job, as he always does on keyboards, but think about and pray for John Lowry as he undergoes a big health challenge up in a major. He's got a great hospital, great doctors, but pray for him and pray for his family. And when we play Let It Be, I want you to be praying for his family. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take the calls, 800-684-3110. And Logan, you could throw in some comments also from Facebook and Periscope
I'll
as well.
Pull some of those. A lot of people are saying they're praying for John, so it's good. A lot of comments coming in for that. Larry's calling in Evansville, Indiana, line two. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey. Thanks for taking my call. Also, my prayers go out to John Lowry as well. Thank you for bringing it up. Having worked in the Air Force for a career with the OSI, I know how they put piece information together, and you've done a great job of that this morning. I believe that he slipped up, maybe intentionally, in his statement to bring the previous director of the
to get James Comey involved in it. Well, either that or he's just being forthright. I don't know. I mean, he said, you know, this is, again, James Comey said he did not have anything to do it with releasing this kind of information or authorizing this, and it appears that
McCabe says
he does. So someone's telling the truth or someone's not, or they're going to maybe parse the word enough that they can
dance around it. He's notified of it, but he doesn't directly authorize it because the deputy director maybe can't. I mean, the end of the day is they say he gets fired not just because of his lack of candor, but also because of unauthorized leaks to the media. So I think McCabe is also probably talking about, and here's a great comment, but McCabe may be referencing one instance where he did get approval, okay? But we know that we felt like there were like leaks every day coming out of the FBI. It was like leaks central. Every investigation that was open was coming out. New pieces of information would be leaked out before there were any statements made about it. And now we find out again that part of his termination recommendation was the leaking of unauthorized information, disclosure of unauthorized information. So they didn't say, well, if what you say is true, Director McCabe or Deputy Director McCabe, then you didn't disclose information without authorization. So there's a question there too, as well, to McCabe's statement is he may be referencing one time out of many that he did go through the process. But what about all the other times that media on either the Clinton or Trump investigations was released? And again, I want to make it known, it was not just for lack of candor to the OIG that he was recommended to be terminated by the Office of Professional Responsibility, the FBI. It was also because of providing unauthorized information to reporters. So they are still holding him as someone who did not get authorization to give out information to the media. He may be talking about one instance, but he's commenting on one. He does say that those types were regular, sometimes several per week. Well, did he always go about this same process?
We don't know.
But it was important that they left that in there. They didn't say he lied about this.
We will get
this.
Ultimately, there will be a full Inspector General's report, and I think that is generally publicly released, maybe redacted somewhat, but I think we'll get them. But obviously, it was a significant enough issue that the Office of Professional Responsibility thought that McCabe had to go. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Let's go to Mark on line one in St. Louis. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Great show. My question is, can the OPR recommend criminal prosecution?
Probably not. I mean, I think that I'm not sure on that, but the Office of Professional Responsibility can make findings, and from those findings, there could be a determination of whether there's any culpability from a criminal standpoint. But you could have an OPR disciplinary issue, Harry, with violating a procedural rule with inside the Department of Justice or the FBI.
Absolutely, but it's clear from Attorney General Sessions' statement that McCabe likely lied to investigators. That could be the basis of a prosecution. It's also equally clear that it may be difficult.
I want to be clear on something, Harry, though, because the words they're using is candor. I mean, they're saying candor, lack of candor, which is the standard. That doesn't always mean what we would. I mean, it's still it's a misstatement.
Yes,
be either by statement or non-statement. But candor is a different threshold than just lying. But it could include that. It could certainly include it.
But I would suggest it's possible for the Justice Department to launch a criminal investigation to see if facts can be adduced which support a prosecution.
Sure.
So rather than worrying about his pension, perhaps Mr. McCabe should worry about escaping a prison, as Jonathan Turley has pointed out earlier.
Yeah, I mean, Turley's been very, very direct on this.
Yeah, I mean, I would just point people to the fact that, again, we know the reason for termination. They are this. We talk about this a lot with the bureaucracy. That's how you lose your job these days, is that you have to basically be terminated by these internal. The bureaucracy itself has to recommend your termination, and for things that are potentially criminal. And this certainly is enough information we already know to likely open up investigation. There hasn't already been one because of what information was given to the reporters. Was that classified? Was it about an ongoing FBI investigation, info that could impact a court case? I mean, on and on that goes. And then, of course, all the testimony these guys have given under oath, both to congressional committees and to their own internal agencies as well. They have gone under oath, and they know that means there can be consequences for, multiple instances of lacking candor. So it wasn't one time. Yep. They made that clear to the Attorney General, too. It wasn't one time they caught him. It was multiple times.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call, Logan, or a comment, whatever you
want. All right, let's go to Beth in New York on line four. A little off topic, but a good comment.
All right, go ahead, Beth.
Hey, Jay. I think a lot of things are going to – first, I'll thank you for everything that you do. Yep. I think a lot of things are going to come clear when the IG Horowitz report comes out. But my comment was on another topic.
Yep.
My concern is the holdups of President Trump's appointees in the Senate, the obstruction by Senator Schumer. What can be done about that?
Well, look, I will tell you this is something I am working on because I am very concerned about this. And that is you've got a number of positions. I mean, we've got ambassadorships to major countries, Germany for one, and others that have not yet been moved through the United States Senate. And I think there is no excuse for any of this. So we have got to get, Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader, needs to be assertive in getting these nominations through committee and then voted on. But I think about, Rick Grenell's up for in Germany. There's others that have been pending just as long, and we need to see these move. We've got our United States interests on foreign policy issues are impacted when we, for instance, I've been focusing right now on ambassadors, that we lose time, effort, and position when we don't have these ambassadors put forward. So I think it's a great call and something I will tell you at the ACLJ, we believe the process needs to go forward. And as a concerned American citizen, we want that to go forward as well. So that's going to do it for the broadcast today.
That's right. That'll do it for Monday's show. You can find this, if you missed part of it, archived in just a few minutes on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast on ACLJ.org or the ACLJ app. Find us tomorrow broadcasting live right here once again, even on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. You can find us and watch us live. Again, that's at ACLJ.org.
Don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. We've got two cases that are very much dependent upon a third case at the Supreme Court of the United States tomorrow involving crisis pregnancy centers. We've got two cases being held pending the outcome of that one, so a lot at stake. Respond to us at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we'll have a matching gift form. For those on Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. I've got a message I want to give you, and then we're going to play some music for you, but I do want to talk to you about something. So have a good day.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.